Hey, it's Brandon Collinsworth, and you're listening to Trained, Body and Mind.
Oh, hello. Welcome to Trained, Body and Mind, a podcast exploring the cutting edge of holistic fitness. I'm your host, Jacqueline Beyer. Each episode, I connect with the world's leading experts and athletes to talk about mindset, movement, nutrition, recovery, and sleep, what we like to call the five facets of fitness. Today, I'm talking with a Nike yoga teacher whose remarkable journey of becoming a professional dancer shaped her unique approach to teaching movement.
Dance or yoga, when I'm like doing those things, I feel more home and connected, and like we are all one. That's the purpose of it, I think. Oneness. When you feel home in your body and you feel very connected to other beings as well, that like we are just the same force traveling through physical experience. That's how I feel. That's how I would like to achieve.
That's Maria Wada. And at a very young age, she knew exactly what she wanted to do with her life. Dance on stage with Britney Spears. But Maria was in Japan, spoke no English, and had never taken a dance class. What happened next is much more than your typical make your dreams come true story. Let's just say it's more about how dreams have a funny way of taking us places we never expected. We all have heard this advice that we should dance like no one is watching. What do you think it is that keeps so many of us from actually doing that?
I mean, people care what other people think. Like, I don't want to look silly. I think that's the big thing for like when you're dancing. But I think everybody can't dance, in my opinion. Like when you move your body to the music or without music, that's so healing. So I hope more people will not care what you look when you move, just more focus on how you feel.
What do you think we can unlock? Like, what feeling can we achieve when we do really, truly dance like nobody is watching us?
I think it's the best thing, in my opinion, when you dance without being perfect or like trying to look a certain way, and just moving the body is such a healing. To me, words can't explain how incredible the feeling is. The minute you're getting out of your head and then just dance and like kind of forget everything, I think it's the best thing. So that's why people encourage people to dance like no one's watching.
I'm sure you've had your fill of dance while no one is watching moments, but you have also had many dance while everyone is watching moments. Mm-hmm. So I'm curious how you originally found dance.
I started watching all the pop star from the States, like Britney Spears actually made me want to dance. Like I learned all the choreography of hers. And yeah, that's the start. I wanted to dance for her.
What did you love so much about dancing in the beginning, at least?
That's like very hard to explain, actually. Mm-hmm. I was never like a athletic person. I think dance is the only form I move my body and I feel good. It fits me perfectly. The feeling when I dance was just incredible. It's like, this is what I want to do every day, the entire life. It's just like very hard to explain.
What kinds of dance have you had the most experience or training in?
Because I started liking dance by watching all the music video back in the day. MTV music videos was like big. So street dance was something that I wanted to do, not like ballet or jazz. I didn't train that in the beginning. I was just self-taught in the beginning, and I started taking hip-hop dance classes when I was like 15, and that's how I started. And then pretty much when I was in Japan, that's all I did, street dancing, hip-hop or like jazz, funk.
And so what does self-taught look like back then? Because today I feel like people go on YouTube, right? And they're like, I'm gonna look up a video. But Were you just watching MTV and trying to pick it up in the moment?
Oh yeah. If you ask my mom, it's just like how many times I like slow motion, pause to see all the videos, and I'm trying to pick up the choreography. I would do it for hours, just with the beat, a little bob in the neck. I would do for like hours. Because I loved it and I really wanted to get better. So yeah, that's what I did.
What about role models? Who did you look up to in the space, either as amazing movers or amazing teachers during that time?
I met a lot of people along the way of my dance journey. I found out there was a Japanese dancer in the States. There was only one person, one female dancer from Japan dancing for all the artists. Her name is Reno. So I found out about her when I was like 17 or 16. So ever since then, it's like, oh, that's possible. I can move to the States and dance for Britney. I never met her, but I was just like, I want to be like her. So that's the mindset I was setting. It's like, I can move to the States and I can do all these things. So in that way, she was my role model in the teenager days. But I have a lot of amazing mentors. It's hard to name everyone. It's like, oh, my first ballet teacher, my first hip-hop teacher taught me a lot. And everybody that I met along the way, mentors. I really cherish all my mentors for sure.
When you talked about realizing you could move to the States, was that around 2009 when you got your artist visa?
That was pretty later on. Like I decided I want to move to the States like 2002, I think. I was 17, I believe. Britney Spears came to Japan and she had a concert in Tokyo Dome. And that was the day I'm like witnessing in person how amazing the backup dancer for Britney. It was just so amazing. Till this day, that concert just changed my life. So it's just like all the dancers are so unique. Everybody has a different costume and movement was incredible. So when I witnessed that in person, I was just like, that's it. I really want to do that. And now that I saw it in person, I have to do it. And then that was kind of deciding point. I was so set to do that. And then 2007 is where I moved to New York first because I knew that I was not skilled yet. So I needed to like train more. I trained so much until I actually got visa. That was like a journey itself. It was very tough.
What was your support system like during this time? Did your family believe in you? Did people believe in you?
My parents are pretty traditional in a way. They wanted me to go to like a really nice college and then get a great job. So the fact that I was just like, I'm only going to dance. And then they were kind of not liking it and also worried about me. So I didn't feel supported from my parents for sure. Then I really wanted to move to the States. And my mom kind of suggested to go talk to my grandma. So I went to my grandma, and then she's the one kind of supported me more. Yeah, it was tough until my parents actually accepted me in the way, me being the professional dancer. The minute I started working, I think they kind of see that I can make it. But I didn't have a lot of support. I wasn't born in one of those family that like dance mom or stage parents. I was not like that.
You know, I think it's hard for parents because it's probably pretty natural for young people to have huge dreams. Mm-hmm. And like your dream of dancing with Britney is like
it's the best.
Insane.
It's just yeah. Like just a Japanese kid who just danced for like a couple of years and like you would think that that's impossible. So I understand now for sure.
Yeah. Spoiler alert, how did you achieve your dream? You ended up dancing for Britney. Like, take us through that journey.
My mind was so set on, I'm going to dance for Britney Spears. That's the only thing that mattered until I actually got there. So that determination, the discipline that I had, that person is not the same person as me right now, but I really needed the time. I was so selfish in a way that like, my goal is the only thing matter to me. And then everything that I do need to be some steps that taking towards that. When you that determined and your mind is set and then you actually taking the action and then this magic happened. Yeah, that audition I went, it was 300 girls and then I auditioned for it. And I just danced for my life for that audition. And I think it kind of came through. And then choreographer recognized my fire in me and I got to dance for her. And after that, it's kind of like my life changed because living life selfishly was really not making me happy. So I'm glad I got to the point of realizing that's not what makes me happy.
Yeah, I was going to ask you. I mean, you had that moment of achieving that dream of getting to live your dream of dancing with Britney. So was it everything that you wanted it to be, everything that you thought it was going to be? Clearly, you just said things changed for you a little bit. When did it start to lose some of its shine for you?
It was already happening in a way, but because I was so stubborn to get there, so I kind of like, no, it's okay. Everything's going to be okay if I get there kind of mindset I had. But I was already questioning a lot of entertainment industry. It is amazing. I got to experience so many great things or traveling the world. But my heart or my soul was not happy. I was so lonely because I was very selfish. So I didn't take time to like care for families and friends. And I didn't have a deep connection to other people. And then when I got to the place I really wanted to be, I feel like I didn't have people to share it with. And also, when you achieve something, the goal, it will end. And then always there's a what's next. And I was always questioning after that point. It's just like, is this what I want to do for a very long time? And then I met yoga. So that kind of came all together after that.
So let's finally talk more about yoga. I mean, I heard you first stepped into a yoga class 10 years ago. How did that moment happen?
Well, that was a kind of trendy at that time. So I was kind of like hop on the trend a little bit. A lot of my dancer friends are taking yoga classes. And my first yoga class was like 2012, I think. And something clicked a couple of years in. And then when I met my teacher who trained me to be a teacher, her name is Lindsay. When I was taking her class, something happened in my mind that is like, first time I felt kind of understood meditation during the class. And I was like, oh, this is different. And then kind of like that was making me, quote unquote, happy in a way. Not like exciting happy. It's just like, like calm feeling or more connected to myself. And I feel very safe. And then from that on, I just wanted to practice more, get to know more. And she was amazing to introduce me to other teachers or the books. I was just like going deep, deep, deep. And I was just so curious.
Well, in the way you're describing it, it sounds like yoga almost became the antidote for what you were feeling in professional dancing, at least mentally. Mm-hmm. What about physically? How did yoga feel on your body?
I feel very connected when I was practicing yoga. Breathing play a big role. When you breathe deeply and then breathing is kind of like magic. It really changes your mood.
Yeah. And I mean, that's the cool thing. You know, the way you describe experiencing that in yoga, you can go to yoga and sit on your mat and just breathe and get something out of it. You don't have to do the headstands, the arm balances, all of that. And I think that that might be one of the intimidating things about yoga for people is the Instagram version of yoga.
Oh, yeah.
When did you become a Nike yoga teacher?
This year. It's very recent. Yeah. I'm so happy that this opportunity came to me. And yeah, we officially started in July, but I already have 3 classes recorded with Nike training. So one more class coming up soon.
You remind me so much of Brandon Collinsworth in that sense of like, I had a dream. I said I was going to do it. I put it on my vision board. Whether or not you actually have a vision board, he says he does. And then he achieves it. And everything he talks about, I'm like, dude, you are on a roll. And it seems like you're that type of person too, who sets a goal and achieves it. And we talked a little bit earlier about how that goal setting thing is interesting because you want to work towards something and you feel something when you achieve it, but then what next? So in achieving the goal of becoming a Nike trainer, are you feeling that again now? Are you feeling the like, what do I do from here? Or has yoga given you a sense of content, calm, I'm happy, I'm in the present?
Well, I used to be like, I'm going to do this and then everything I take step to get there. Now I don't do that anymore because I discovered the attachment to the goal make you suffer as well. Like, let's say I want to do this. And then everything that didn't work towards that will make you feel like I failed. I think personally, best way right now for me is just like follow what I love to do and share what I love and just no fixated goal I have when it comes to like career anymore in the way. So it's a constant battle a little bit, but I'm prioritizing my deep core sense of happiness rather than like, I'm going to achieve and then that's going to make me happy. It's like, that was out of the door long ago. So I'm trying not to go back to that.
When we come back from the break, Maria talks about her teaching philosophy, what she's learned moving between two very different cultures, and how idealized images on social media can send the wrong message about our bodies and fitness. Let's talk about teaching. What is your approach or your vibe when it comes to teaching movement?
Yeah, for sure. It's like, I don't want people to feel discouraged or I don't want anyone to feel you failed in the class ever when I'm teaching. So I make sure it's like everybody, everyone has a different practice. So I will introduce as many variation as I can. And like, I don't want to say ever modification. Because whatever you're doing, matching to your body is the right thing to do. I mean, I'm very capable body. I like going upside down and it's fun for me and I'm capable. But everybody's capable in a different way. So I'm always trying to be as inclusive as possible. And I don't want anyone to feel failed. So that's how I really like being careful for when I teach and also showing up on the mat, decided to practice yoga is already a win. So I really want people to feel that. I want people to be proud of themselves for showing up. So that's kind of like I want to emphasize.
Yeah. And it's great though. And even what you said about modification and how you don't like to use the word modification, that's so cool because I think there is a negative connotation to that word. Modifying means that you are doing something lesser, that mm-hmm. you're weaker. And I think just how important that is and how that can change someone's whole experience in a class where they might feel a little out of their comfort zone can change their trajectory with sport or fitness or involvement. And I've heard you touch on a few words over and over again in your teaching, perfectionism, ego, expectation. I would love for you just to quickly expand on what you mean when you bring those up and why those are important for you to talk about.
Well, this is coming from my life experience. I tend to be a perfectionist and then that caused me pain. So it's like when you like aim for perfection, there's no perfect. Imperfection is perfect in a way. So I kind of like talk about that in the class. And also ego creeps in the yoga class too. Like I witnessed that a lot. It's like, oh, next person is doing this. So I should be doing a little better. And all that stuff happens. Like I make sure it's not about it. Because that just not going to be fulfilling or make you happy. I just want people to connect inwards and sense themselves and then be home. So I really want to shift the focus from performing mindset or like try to achieve mindset to showing up, checking in, observing how you are today. That's kind of like the point of yoga.
Very cool. You know, one of the reasons that I've been really excited to chat with you today is that your life is deeply rooted in movement. We've talked a bit about moving in the sense of dance and in the sense mm-hmm. of yoga. But I want to hear in these last few minutes that we have together a little bit about the cross-cultural experience. You know, you're moving between Japanese and US cultures and how mm-hmm. how has that changed you?
My discipline and my organized personality is very coming from my Japanese roots. And I really like that about myself. And I'm also very open to be opinionated and pursue my self goal kind of way. That's very American to me. Just like you can do whatever you set your mind to do. Is that the right way to say? But
yeah,
that's very like American, and it's very encouraging in the entertainment industry. It's just the hard thing to get a job, and then you need to keep the job. If you're talented, beautiful, you book something. But if you're rude or if you're not team player, you're not going to be hired again. So you want to be a good human. And then kind of like, I'm glad I was this Japanese mindset or my roots, you know. I think it helped me a lot.
What about when it comes to your art? How has moving between the cultures affected how you dance and how you practice yoga? Do you have a unique style because of that, would you say?
Sometimes it's like when I'm practicing in the States, some people breathe very like, and so like a little, and then when you're like a move, it's kind of like a dramatic movement.
That's so funny.
When I took some yoga classes in Japan, it's just like, very quiet, very like, more serious in a way. Maybe I land in the middle.
Okay. And I did, you know, I did use the word art, and I wonder, do you consider yoga and dance as where athleticism meets art? I don't think all sports have the sense of beauty and movement to them the way that yoga and dance do.
Well, to me, yoga is like the way you're living. So it's not about only moving. Moving is a part of yoga, but it's like yoga is so much more, and I'm so fascinated. I'm forever try to study, and you know, it's kind of like nonviolence is the one thing. So it's very way of life to me, yoga. It could be the art of life, I guess, but it's not religion. It's a tool to feel connected. And then yoga means union, union to the universe and to yourself. So I don't know if I could say yoga is art. That would be, I don't know if I can say that.
No, I think that that's a really cool way of describing it. And I think what I'm hearing is you really can't put it in a box and don't assume that it is one thing and one thing only. And I think that kind of trickles down into people who do yoga and people who do dance. And I think those are two types of movement styles, lifestyles, where there's a lot of assumptions around what they should look like a yoga body or a dance body in particular. So, and I have a feeling I know how you're going to answer this, but what do you have to say when people assume that you need to look a certain way in order to get the feelings, get the physical, the mental benefits from either of those things?
Yeah, it's just the media portray kind of like a wrong idea. The Instagram yoga, I kind of like enjoy watching all the beautiful picture too, and like, oh, like that pose looks fun. So I would try, but it's like for all the people looking at the dancers or yogis on media, it's like very certain type still. So that could drive people away from doing dance or yoga. So I think more examples of different human being, the better. More example, different type of practice of yoga or dancing, the better. It's just a long time media has been showing only certain type of human body, and that really affect people to think that's what it is. Yoga is this, you know, gymnastic and skinny body, when it's like, it's not like that at all. It's like, also when it comes to me too, I was gonna say, adding on to the last thing, my practice is very heavily on physical because I am very comfortable in movement. Moving my body is my home, and I feel so good when I'm moving. So that's why yoga, asana, the physical part of practice is really speaking to me. But maybe somebody else might be more spoken to meditation, or like I have a friend who's practiced bhakti yoga, which is like chanting and singing. So somebody who's more like strong on the voice might be really attracted to or more fits. This is the style I want to practice, chanting and singing and getting together. And there's so much more. So it's like, I hope more example in the world that's a lot of different type of people can connect. Oh, that's what I want to do. Not like, that doesn't look like me, so I shouldn't do that. And it's sad when it's like, looks like one answer, you know?
Yeah, I agree. I don't think there is one answer. But it's making me wonder, is there a word or a feeling that comes to mind when you reflect on what dance and yoga mean to you?
Dance or yoga, when I'm like doing those things, I feel more home and connected and like we are all one. That's the purpose of it, I think. Oneness. When you feel home in your body and you feel very connected to other beings as well, that like we are just the same force traveling through physical experience. That's how I feel. That's how I would like to achieve when I practice yoga. Of course, that's the goal of yoga. Union, connected, and bliss. And dance as well. I kind of like get to feel that when I'm like not performing, just moving and really connected. So I guess that's the word, oneness or union.
Well, I feel some of that even just in talking to you for the past hour. Yeah. So thank you for sharing your energy, your story, your feelings. This has been a really fun conversation and we're really lucky to have you as part of the Nike family.
Yay.
Thanks, Maria.
Thank you.
We hear from plenty of people on this podcast who have overcome incredible obstacles and realized their dreams through hard work and unwavering determination. But what will always stick with me about Maria is her self-awareness. That once she reached her dream, or what she thought was her dream, she got honest with herself. She rethought, redirected, and reinvented herself. That strikes me as not only an incredibly healthy thing to do, but also incredibly brave. On our next episode of Trained, we chat with author James Clear about his book Atomic Habits, which has been on the New York Times bestseller list for nearly 3 years, and his simple strategies for building healthy habits. This has been Trained. Talk to you soon. If you've enjoyed this episode of Trained, help us spread the word by rating and reviewing the podcast. That way we can keep making great episodes for you to listen to. And it helps other people find us too. If you've got a question for me or my guests or a topic you'd like to see covered, email me at trained@nike.com and I'll see what I can do.
Thanks for listening to Trained. Just a reminder, always talk with your doctor before starting any training or nutrition program. The information we provide isn't a substitute for medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment, and the individual opinions expressed here are just that, opinions.